Okay, today we're taking a look at the subject on the resurrection. Notice in Acts 24, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, "This I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. And because I believe all things written in the law and the prophets," he says, "I have hope. I have hope toward God, which they," that is those Jews, "themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust." So I'm taking the title from the first part of verse 15, "I have hope toward God." I have hope toward God. Remember from studying 1 Corinthians 15, the apostle says, if in this life only we have hope toward God, we're of all men most miserable. The hope we have in the Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal hope. The believer's hope is beyond this life and extends to eternal glory. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, no man shall see the Lord. The hope we have now is all wrapped up in the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the hope of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is called our hope. Did you know that? That's one of his names. When the apostle writes 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, he says that I'm an apostle by the commandment of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He is our hope. Everything we hope for, salvation, forgiveness, pardon, resurrection, regeneration, all found through him and in him and by him. And we have a good hope. The apostle writes this, "Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, who had loved us and given us an everlasting consolation and a good hope through grace." I am what I am. Can't you say that? I am what I am by the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ himself was raised from the dead to give full evidence of our resurrection from the dead. He is called the first fruits of the resurrection. He's a guarantee of ours. Our Lord said, "Because I live, you shall live also." The hope we have in Christ is a good hope. That's a good hope through Christ, because he is our hope. Our Lord said, "I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of hell and death." You have a key, set of keys in your pocket, no doubt, or your pocketbook, no doubt, and they are keys to a car or to a house. Why do you have those keys? You own those things. The Lord Jesus Christ is the owner of all things. The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. Now, throughout our study in the book of Acts, the most dominant theme of all the preaching of the apostles in the book of Acts, it's recorded for us, is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember, turn back to Acts chapter 2. They watched the Lord Jesus Christ ascend to glory after he lived among men for 40 days after his resurrection from the dead. And the apostles, that's what they preached. In Acts chapter 2, him being delivered, verse 23, "By the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So what did Peter preach? The death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, in Acts chapter 2, he goes on and says, "This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof We're all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God and exalted, having received of the Father the promise of God the Holy Spirit, he hath shed forth this which you do now see and hear. So Peter on Pentecost, he preached the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's go on. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Verse 14, you denied the Holy One, the just, and desired a murder to be granted unto you. You killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we're all witnesses this day. Look at chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 2. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. In Acts chapter 10, turn over there. Peter preaching when he preached to the Gentile house of Cornelius. In Acts chapter 10. Verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power and went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. So they preached the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. One other reference, Acts 13. Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul preaching here in Acts 13, verse 28, though they found no cause of death in him, yet desired they Pilate that he should be slain. And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in the grave. God raised him from the dead. God raised him from the dead. Now, it's evident, plain and clear, that the Lord Jesus Christ ever lives to intercede for us. One God, one mediator between God and man. Who is it? The exalted Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how important is the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, if you read 1 Corinthians 15, it says, if Christ is not raised from the dead and seated in glory, interceding for us right now, we have no gospel message. We have no good news. And we are yet in our sin if the Lord Jesus Christ be not raised from the dead. He was delivered for our offenses, right? And raised again. Why? Because he justified us. Justified by his blood. His resurrection is the guarantee that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is true, successful, finished, and accomplished because he lives. We live in him. The apostle tells us in this verse 15, Acts 24, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. There will be a glorious resurrection morning when the Lord returns for his people who have been justified through the Lord's glorious blood atonement, justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is going to be a glorious resurrection unto life of those for whom the Lord Jesus Christ died and put away their sin. But there's also going to be a resurrection unto condemnation of the unjust, those not found in Christ. This verse also tells us that there will be a resurrection of the unjust. The prophet Daniel wrote these words, many of them that slept in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to everlasting contempt and to shame. The Lord Jesus said over here, we read it earlier in John 5:29, some shall come forth and shall come forth, they that have done good. Let's go back marvel not that I say, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, every one. And they shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So there is going to be a resurrection of all men everywhere without exception. Now there are just two groups of people upon this earth. It's like when the Titanic sank. You remember that Titanic, 1912, April 1912, when the Titanic sank. And when they listed in New York, put a list of the people on the boat, there were just two categories: saved and lost. That's true of all men everywhere, either saved in Christ eternally by his grace or forever lost in Adam. There's just two categories of all men. The same is true of all men, saved or lost, alive or dead, sheep or goats, those who have been justified by the grace of God and those who remain unjust and who will die in their sin. Those saved by the grace of God believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because they've been given life to hear. The Lord said, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. All those who believe are justified from all things which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. Those who refuse to believe the gospel, who will not have the gospel, will die in their sin, and they'll be raised in their sin, stand before the judgment seat of Christ in their sin, and hear him say, depart from me, I never knew you. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now notice our Lord said, all that have died will be raised up. All who have died will be raised up. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, I thought about this. How many billions of sinners have died over the last 6,000 years? Now, that's a big number. You mean God knows where every one of those, they're nothing but dust in the earth or in the sea? Yes, he knows every single one of them, and they'll be raised up. A great multitude. Now, I looked this up on that app that you have on your phone. I'm wondering about how many people die each year in the United States. Well, according to what the phone said, 3 million people die each year in the United States. 3 million. That's what was given in 2017. Probably more than that now. Over 10 million people in China die every year. And then it said worldwide, 58 million people die each year. 58 million. Now multiply that thousands of years. Wow, that's a big number. I'm not very good with numbers, but that's a big number. All who are in the grave shall hear his voice. Now we know that death to this flesh is a certain fact. Everywhere you go and everywhere you drive, one of the things I always look at and look for are cemeteries. And this part of the country is very unique in that we have so many family cemeteries. Out where I grew up, you don't ever see that. You just have towns. Each town has a cemetery, or each county has a cemetery. Death to this flesh is certain, and we're reminded of it every day, are we not? This body is going to die because of sin. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. How did we become sinners? In Adam all died. In Adam all sinned. And we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We know the wages of sin is what? Death. But thank God there's more to that verse. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No one will deny the fact that this flesh is going back to the dust. Neither should we deny the fact that God's going to raise all the dust from the earth who ever lived. Now, God created Adam out of the dust, right? It's no problem for God to give that body that has died and went back to the dust to raise it up again at the last day. He's God. God is a big God. I was listening to a preacher this morning who follows our program, and I was headed back home this morning and tuned in the radio to get the end of our radio program. And I started listening to him, and what he preaches is a big devil and a small God. He preaches an omnipotent devil and a powerless God. That's just the opposite. God is God. The devil is God's servant. The devil doesn't do anything except God bids him do it. That's right. But death comes because of sin. Now, once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, after that, judgment. And that judgment is relative to our union with Christ. Look back at Acts 17. Acts 17. Verse 30 said, the times of ignorance, times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance to all men everywhere, in that he raised him from the dead. It's appointed judgment. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But outside of Christ, there is nothing but a consuming fire. The Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verse 15, Acts 24. We have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. Now, two things here. Who are those sinners who are justified, and how are they justified? Who will be raised up perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ? Who are those people? Well, let's see if we can find out. Turn over here to the book of Romans, chapter 8. Who will be raised up and perfectly conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and justified by his blood? Those for whom he has chosen in Christ. Romans 8, 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among the brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So how are we justified? It is God that justifieth. Turn back a few pages, Romans chapter 5. God commendeth his love toward us, verse 8, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. How are those sinners justified? Turn back one more page, Romans 3, 24. You could all quote this one, because I quote it all the time. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are these who are raised up? Those who are justified by the grace of God. We know this. All men everywhere by nature are unjust. By birth, by practice, and choice, we're sinners, unjust, and guilty before God. Unrighteous before God. There is none righteous, no, not one. How are sinners justified then? By His grace. Through the redeeming blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way sinners can be justified is for the Lord Jesus Christ to justify them through His blood. Christ once suffered for our sin, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us unto God. We can't come any other way. The Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by and through me. So He justifies us by His grace. Those chosen of God in eternity, those cleansed by the blood atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ, those given spiritual life by God the Holy Spirit, quickened and made alive, will be raised on that resurrection day and given a new body, just like our Lord's risen body. For the Lord redeemed us, body, soul, and spirit. I pray, Paul writes this, I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now He's coming back. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He's coming back to receive His people to Himself. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those who have died in the Lord, precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of His saint, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Him will God bring with Him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep, but the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When the Lord returns, those for whom He died, and those for who died in the Lord, their bodies will be raised up and their souls united with their bodies. Then believers who are living will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye at the last trump. What kind of body will we have? Well, the Scriptures tell us. If you look back in Luke 24, and this is referring to believers, when God raises them from the dead, those who are justified by His blood. In Luke 24, the risen Lord appeared to those apostles. Verse 36, and as they spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them, and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And He said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He had a real body, glorified body, without sin. And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. And while they were yet believed not for joy and wonder, He said to them, have ye any meat? And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And He took it and He did eat. He had a real body and He enjoyed real food. And we're going to have a body just like His glorious body. Let me read this reference to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So when we go to the cemetery, and how many times have we done that? I don't know how many times I've stood at a cemetery, turned to 1 Corinthians 15 and read this portion of Scripture. We plant our dear loved ones who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we put their body, sown in corruption, raised in incorruption, sown corruptible, sown in dishonor, raised in glory, as it says in verse 42 and 43 of 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. It's sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. And then he writes down in verse 51, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. There's going to be some believers living when the Lord comes back. But we shall be changed in a moment and twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and will be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we can say, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's why we can say, blessed are those who die in the Lord. We take the body of our dear loved ones, and we bury it away, but we do so with great expectation of a certain hope of eternal resurrection of that body. There is a resurrection of the just, glorified, conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be with him forever and ever and ever. He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and we're going to enjoy that new heaven and a new earth and a real body. I can't even begin to describe it or even imagine it. I believe it to be so. I believe it to be so. Now, here's the flip side. There's also a resurrection of the unjust, those who die in their sin. Blessed are those that trust the Lord, but cursed are those that trust their flesh. Those sinners who die in their sin will be raised up in their sin, will face God in judgment in their sin, and will be eternally condemned in their sin. Now, they'll have a body, but not like the believer, but they'll have a body of some sort, and the Scripture is silent on that, and so it's needless for us to speculate. The book of Romans does say that there are vessels of mercy afore prepared unto glory, and vessels of wrath fitted to eternal destruction. And that's so. Now turn back to 2 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. So there'll be a resurrection unto life and the resurrection unto condemnation to those who are not found in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Everlasting and eternal destruction. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. The Lord will come and separate the sheep from the goats, the tares from the wheat, the vile from the precious. That's his business. That's his business. Turn back to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come, verse 31. Matthew 25, 31. The Son of Man, when he comes. Is he coming? I like what the book of Revelation said. Behold, he cometh. That means he's on his way. All the angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd doth divide the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now look at verse 41, Matthew 25, 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Verse 46, Matthew 25. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May God give us grace right now to believe the gospel. Remember what we read in John chapter 5? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now let's close the message by reading these words found in John chapter 6. Turn there. John chapter 6. Verse 37, John 6, 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's God's elective love, elective grace. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise never cast him out, for I came down from heaven, John 6, 38, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that all which he had given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He's going to raise us up at the last day, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The Lord's coming back. Those who have died in Christ, they'll be raised up first, and we which are alive shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You're going to change our vile body, fashion it like unto his glorious body. And wherever heaven is, that's where he is. Because he is. He is eternal life. He is our heaven. And he's going to have what he bought. He bought us with his own blood. He bought the church with his own blood. And he's going to have what he bought and take us home to glory. Because he justified us by his grace in Christ Jesus.